Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Ever since he started running for president, Donald Trump has repeatedly given voice to some of the worst in American racism and xenophobia. Recently, Trump's troubling stances on immigration have been on display in a pair of policy proposals, one a formal proposed rule to make it harder for immigrants of low income to seek lawful status, and the other a half-baked, off-the-cuff scheme to somehow end the Constitution-based birthright citizenship. Earlier this week, on the day Trump announced his birthright citizenship proposal, I sat down with veteran immigrant rights attorney Kate Woomer-Dieters of the North Carolina Justice Center to learn just how problematic the proposals would be and, with respect to one of them, how average North Carolinians can make their voices heard. Well, Kate Woomer-Dieters, it's great to have you with us this morning.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're here to talk about immigrant rights, pretty much the war on immigrants that the Trump administration has been waging pretty much since the beginning of the Trump administration over the last 2 years. As we record this, however, we've been confronted with a new volley in this battle, which is, of course, Trump's tweet that he would be about the business of ending so-called birthright citizenship in the United States, which has long been an established rule in our country and would be a traumatic and dramatic change. I wanted to get your initial thoughts on this announcement from the president.
I think that it's horrifying, frankly. I woke up this morning planning to come here and talk about public charge, and I saw the news just like everybody else. And we know that Trump talked about this during his campaign in 2015, 2016, but we hadn't really seen any specific moves toward it. And, you know, I think it's a violation not only of our Constitution and our statutes around immigration law, but really of who we are as a country. My mother was the first person in our family born in the United States to immigrant parents, and we have long understood together as a country, you know, regardless of what the laws say, that people who are born here should be able to participate in our life and in voting and in society. I frankly find it horrifying. I think it's symptomatic of, again, this xenophobic, racist campaign. It's there to stir up votes from people who fear others, and I think it's terrifying.
It's a very disturbing development. We'll hope very fervently that it never comes to fruition. But of course, as you alluded to the fact, this conversation that we'd planned to have was originally to be about another Trump administration proposal, which is seems to be further down the road, which is part of the war on immigrants, and it has to do with the so-called public charge rule. And they've issued a new rule. There's a public comment period going on. We'll talk at the end about how people can weigh in on this, but maybe you can give folks a little description of what this proposal is about.
Sure. So the public charge law is something that's been around since 1882. So this is a long time law on the books in the United States. And what it basically has said historically is we don't want people coming into the United States who are going to be a burden on society and a burden on the government budget, if you will. The rule has been interpreted for the last 20 years in a very narrow way. So it's been said that only cash welfare, use of cash welfare and a few other things is pretty much the only thing that could keep you out of the country. What this new proposed rule is trying to do is to expand that. And it's going to do a couple of things. It's going to punish immigrants who have used benefits that they are lawfully eligible to use. So we're not talking about undocumented immigrants. We're talking about lawfully present individuals.
Who then later seek to apply for a green card.
So they may be here in some sort of temporary status,
right,
a visa.
Maybe they're a refugee or something.
Well, it doesn't apply to refugees. It does not apply to refugees, but other temporary and legally present immigrants, right?
Gotcha.
And so they will be penalized if they access Medicaid. A lot of the people that who are temporary immigrants and access those programs are pregnant women and children. So this is really attacking people who most need health care in our country. It's going to also penalize people just for having a low income, even if they never use a single benefit program. And, you know, statistics show that immigrants in our state work at higher levels than native-born citizens, and they make lower wages. Statistically. Now, there are high-income immigrants, doctors, and software engineers, but they are statistically making lower wages. It doesn't mean they're not contributing to our economy. It doesn't even mean they're not sustaining themselves and their families. It just means they're earning low wages. And this proposal would penalize them and perhaps prevent them from getting a green card.
So how would it do that? It would literally say if you're a low-income person, we're going to count that against you?
It literally says if you make less than 125% of federal poverty level, we're going to hold it against you.
Even if you're working all the time?
Even if you're working all the time. Even if you've never
away.
Accessed a specific benefit program. Even if you're sustaining yourself and paying your rent, you know, all of that. Two other pieces I'll mention. It heavily emphasizes having a work history. which to me penalizes caregivers, stay-at-home mothers, people who are working in any real sense of the word, but who are not working outside of the home. And then finally, it penalizes very specifically people with health conditions. And it says if you have a health condition and you're not paying for that with private insurance, you will be penalized.
So much for that inscription on the Statue of Liberty.
You know, I like to say this all the time when I speak on this topic, which is that inscription on the Statue of Liberty was actually written a year after the first public charge rule was passed. So the public charge rule is older than the inscription on the Statue of Liberty. But what's problematic about this is it's changing. It's getting a lot more draconian. And it's going to keep out people who are just here to reunite with their families and to work.
We've done some assessment of the impact that this is going to have. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people who could be affected, particularly children and vulnerable people here, even here in North Carolina, right?
Yes, there are legally present immigrants who will be taken off, probably removing themselves from the benefit rolls. We're also really concerned about the chilling effect.
Right.
So there are a lot of people who are not subject to this rule. Refugees and asylum seekers do not have to go through this process. But we know, I've spoken to people as recently as yesterday who are calling me and saying, I think I may just drop out of Medicaid. I may just drop out of benefit programs because I'm worried that it will affect me. And we've seen in past, you know, welfare reform in the 1990s, people dropping out of programs even when they didn't need to, legally speaking, because they were confused, they were afraid, and they didn't want to create any possible risk to their ability to get a green card.
A similar example would be, I think, people who want to report a crime, maybe, or victims of domestic violence. They don't come forward. They don't receive the services to which they are legally entitled because they're fearful if they do come out of the shadows that the immigration officials will come after them. It'll somehow hinder their ability to get lawful status going forward.
Right. And I mean, people just prize citizenship so much.
Sure.
And so they will not take any risk that could possibly endanger their right to get citizenship. And so we know, I've talked to families personally that are dropping out of these benefit programs, even though at this time, right now, the law is not even in effect. People are dropping out in advance because they're afraid that this may affect them.
Right. And that's the chilling effect. And according to the report that the Budget and Tax Center put out recently, 250,000 children in North Carolina could be impacted by the chilling effect. And 84% are U.S. citizens, but in a family with at least one non-citizen and in receipt of one of the identified public programs. So
right. And it's really important for me to be clear that the rule does not include U.S. citizen children.
Right.
There was a previous version we saw that did, and we were all very worried about that. The new rule has said U.S. citizen children can continue to receive those benefits. But again, we have families that are not getting good information. We've even seen media reports. I will not mention a major media outlet, the national media outlet that put out a really inaccurate report recently suggesting that U.S. citizens would be included. And so people aren't getting good information about it, and they're just dropping out just to be sure.
So there is a public comment period for this. There's an opportunity for caring and thinking people to weigh in, to tell the administration, the Trump administration, not to go forward with this rule. How can folks learn more about that? At the NC Justice Center website?
Yeah, we have a page set up all about public charge. It's www.ncjustice.org/public-charge. So ncjustice.org/public-charge.
Or just go to justice.org and search.
And on that website, we have fact sheets. We have a link where you can comment directly to the federal government.
So please check that out. Kate, please keep up the good work and keep up the fight. We'll talk to you again real soon and see how this is proceeding.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.